ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Nightlife foreign correspondent.
Well, funerals have begun for the dead Israelis returned from Gaza in the ceasefire and hostage exchange deal, as the nation received the remains of two more former captives too. The coffins containing the latest remains to be returned were transferred by the Red Cross from Hamas on a Wednesday night local time and sent to a forensic lab in Tel Aviv. Anyway, to bring us up to date with this evolving story, we're crossing now to Eric Torchak, ABC's Middle East correspondent in Jerusalem. Eric, good evening to you. Welcome back to Nightlife.
Thanks, Phil. And we're actually driving around the West Bank right now. But yeah, I'm normally in Jerusalem. Well, I have been for the last 2 weeks or so.
Yeah. Anyway, good to have your time too. Appreciate it. Thanks, Eric. The first funeral to be had was that of a 26-year-old guy who's a sound technician abducted by Hamas while working at the Nova Music Festival. There'd be a big turnout, I imagine, was there? Hello, Eric. We may have lost Eric's line. Have we lost your line? We're trying to get through to Eric Torchak, who's in a car. Well, he's driving around the West Bank at the moment, hoping to get his thoughts on what's happening in the Middle East and particularly the current state of the ceasefire.
Hi, Phil. Sorry about that. No, that's driving through the West Bank and we lost signal.
Yeah. No worries at all. The coffins carrying the latest remains to be returned have been sent to a forensic lab in Tel Aviv. That appears to be it so far as Israel's getting returned remains, isn't it? To get the rest of the remains out, we'd need excavators. Is that what they're saying?
Essentially, or that they're in areas that they can't access because the Israeli troops remain in those areas. Mm. And Israel has been flattening parts of Gaza, particularly the north and the east of Gaza City. It's got systematic heavy equipment moving through there systematically, flattening neighborhoods with civilian contractors working on behalf of the Israeli military to try and just demolish houses. So the areas have been flattened, and if there are remains, they'll be under a significant amount of rubble. So this is something the Israelis knew and the US acknowledged when President Trump was talking about the peace plan. He said that it would be very difficult to get some of the bodies back. He said, it'd be really difficult and that it was going to take time. So everybody understood this prior to the ceasefire being signed. The issue was whether Hamas was handing over all of the bodies it had straight away or was hanging on to some as a form of leverage. So Hamas is saying, is throwing up its hands saying, we've given you all we've got. For the rest, we need specialist help and we need access.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, there are some in the Israeli government saying, oh, well, that's it, and throwing up their hands. But this probably won't make a difference to the ceasefire deal as it stands, will it, do you think?
No, I mean, Israel was using it. They threatened to restrict the flow of aid, which is itself a kind of a retaliatory breach of the ceasefire, to also refuse to open the Rafah crossing, another retaliatory breach of the ceasefire. And Rafah is yet to open, but apparently that's now because of some coordination issues between the Egyptians and the Palestinian Authority, which needs to run the crossing, and the EU, which is going to have a sort of a supervisory role at Rafah, and all of those things. So, but the idea is that Rafah is going to open in keeping with the deal, and that aid, the increased amount of aid, is supposed to go in. So I don't think the punitives Israel was proposing are still on the table. I think there's an acceptance that the recovery is a little bit difficult and everyone's going to have to be patient from now on.
Mm. You say the Israelis are using civilian contractors to flatten neighbourhoods in Gaza, but the aerial pictures are just horrific. What is the strategy here to make the entire place so uninhabitable that no one goes back?
Well, that's what the allegation is against Israel. The Israeli military says that it's clearing, potential ambush sites and entrance route past, but actually the contractors who've spoken.
Yeah, the line is unfortunately not so great. Apologies for this. We're speaking with Eric Torchek, our ABC Middle East correspondent, who's currently just outside of Jerusalem. He's been driving in the West Bank today, and we've got a line through, but as you can hear, the reception is a bit patchy. Sorry, Eric, are you back with us?
Yeah, and I'm right next to Jerusalem. Like, we're coming back into the city, so I do not know what's going on. They really don't want me talking to you, Phil.
All right. Look, that's the position on the hostage return. We were just discussing this allegation that that Israel is bulldozing large areas of Gaza City to make it uninhabitable. Well, that's an allegation. They say no. It's we're trying to eliminate all hiding places for Hamas. Speaking of Hamas itself, what's the position here? One of the points of the peace plan was that Hamas would disarm, but then again, there is no civil authority in Gaza anymore, is there? There's no police, hospital, civil government, or anything. President Donald Trump appeared to suggest that he would accept Hamas having some sort of interim policing role in the territory. Is that what's happening?
Yeah, that I mean, I think again, there's a degree of pragmatism from the Americans that's not to the Israelis' liking. But everybody understands that Hamas is still the strongest armed group in Gaza, and it's the only group capable at the moment of kind of securing the entire strip, or the amount of the strip that's in Palestinian hands. And there's kind of a grace that's being given for Hamas to kind of restore order on the streets, which will hopefully allow that, you know, for more orderly aid delivery and things like that. But there's been some, you know, this isn't working out the way that the Israelis wanted exactly, because Israel has been arming and paying these rival clans that it wanted to challenge Hamas, and Hamas has very quickly moved to attack those clans. And it's apparently stolen their weapons that they were given by the Israelis, their ammunition and their money. So Hamas has been using the Israeli provided arms and money and ammunition to
it's a very uncertain connection. Whether we can just try and reestablish that connection with Eric Torchek in outside of Jerusalem. Got you back again, Eric.
Sure how much you caught of that.
I've got some of that. Because there is no apparent plan as to what happens next in Gaza, is there? In terms of any kind of, you know, governance of the place.
Everything else is, it was basically a hostage release and prisoner exchange deal.
A ceasefire and prisoner exchange deal, that's it, yeah.
Well, I don't even think you can call it a ceasefire, as Israel is continuing to fire inside Gaza and still occupies 53% of Gaza. I think you should call it a hostage release and prisoner exchange.
Okay.
Because everything else is still being worked out. Nobody knows. I was just in Ramallah, you know, asking the PA, which is the Palestinian government, the internationally recognized Palestinian government, what its role is going to be, whether it even has a role in the current technical talks that are supposedly underway. And it said no. It doesn't have a team that's involved, and this is the internationally recognized government of Palestine.
Dear me, yeah.
So no one even knows what's going on. So they're only talking in very general terms, and no one is sure what happens next, how Hamas disarms. The International Stabilization Force that's meant to secure Gaza and disarm Hamas would be many months away at the earliest. It's incredibly complex to deploy an international stabilization force, and it doesn't have a legal mandate under international law as yet. No. Usually there's a Chapter 7 resolution from the UN Security Council that allows the deployment of an armed force. Hasn't occurred yet. Maybe the Arab League could do something. But again, these things, no one knows exactly what its rules of engagement would be, which countries, is Australia going to be part of it? You know, these are all open questions, and no one knows the immediate details about how they're going to secure the strip, do the repairs, you know, do all these things that need to happen very, very, very quickly.
Yes, well, when you say do the repairs, they're not repairs, are they, Erica? If you look at the devastation that's
complete
occurred,
reconstruction.
You are talking about reconstructing entire towns and the greater part of cities. And where is the money going to come from for that? And there's no answer to that overarching question either, is there?
No, you have to clear millions of tons of rubble.
Who's going to do that?
Well, there's a lot of talk about the Gulf states funding the reconstruction, and the US has apparently committed funds. There's around $70 billion that's been committed already, so more than $100 billion Australian dollars. But they have to. Israel has destroyed infrastructure, so water and sewage and electricity, destroyed all the roads. The main roads have been dug up. So the transport is difficult. There's no sewage system anymore. The plants have been destroyed. It's a basic thing. I think 80% of the population now doesn't have housing. It's catastrophic, the situation. Everything is incredibly urgent. But the first thing that needs to happen now is what they call, the stabilization phase. So stopping the fighting and then try to get just a basic level of aid into the population. And once that occurs, you can start, and if they can keep the fighting at the ceasefire level, as in with only very sporadic clashes, then you could, talk about starting to rebuild critical infrastructure. And beyond that, there's still all these political questions. Who will govern Gaza? Is there going to be a Palestinian state? Are there going to be Palestinian elections? None of those have been answered.
No, they haven't. Very fundamental and very fundamental questions about who is going to run Gaza, and if it's not if it's not Hamas, which has been running it for 20 years, who is going to run it? And as you say, that's the impotence of the Palestinian Authority, the PA, as you say, doesn't offer you much confidence that they would be able to step in. They've got no capacity to step in anyway, have they?
Well, actually, there was already the PA and Hamas were already coordinating on key ministries. So the health ministry was working in coordination with the PA. Education ministry was working in coordination with the PA. The water and sanitation departments, they worked in coordination with the PA. There was a 2017 agreement that saw some unification of services between the PA and Hamas, between the West Bank and Gaza. So, yeah, there are areas where they already work together. And there are a bunch of PA bureaucrats that actually have worked on Gaza, and the PA even has bureaucrats in El Arish in Egypt that are working on, for example, reopening the Rafah crossing. So yes, there is some capacity, and there is some experience working on Gaza from the PA, but that's not something that, again, they can do at the moment with Hamas still in control, Israel still launching the occasional attack, and there's no guarantee of who's actually providing security inside the strip.
Indeed. Eric, thank you. I'm glad we re-established some contact, and terrific to have your time as well. Appreciate it. Thanks, Eric.
Thanks, Philip.
Eric Torcek, ABC Mideast correspondent, often based in Istanbul, but in just outside of Jerusalem tonight after a trip on the West Bank as well.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.